Take it away, Derek. What's your question?
Why do you guys talk about comics so much?
Comic books.
Motherfucker, do you
read them?
18 years. Toothbrush is still fresh.
Did they have sex? Because, I mean, She-Hulk, you know.
Damn it, Tony. We went an entire episode without mentioning Maggot, and then you ruined it.
Comic books.
Motherfucker, do you
read them?
Batman's got his little fishbowl on his head, but Superman doesn't.
Cyclops was right.
Except when he was wrong.
Master Bruce, you are calm.
I'm going to silently judge all of you.
Shut up, Beast. Shut up.
Like, I've read it so many times, you know, it pretty much just crumbled in my hands.
Come on, old chum.
Comic books.
Motherfucker, do you
read them?
See, I didn't hate Hellcat until you made me read this miniseries. It was just a joke, but you made it real, Justin.
No.
You made it real.
I prefer my Dazzler singing, like, Creedence Clearwater Revival songs at Australian bars.
Titty discs. And
that's what to be known as from now on. Like, I'm going to go into the Marvel Wikipedia and edit that, whatever it is.
The worst titty discs.
It doesn't get better than that.
Comic books.
Motherfucker, do you
read them?
Hey, guys. Welcome back to another monkey-erific, ape-tastic episode of Fanholes Comics. Motherfucker, do you read them? Hey, what's up, guys? This is Derek, Derek WC. I'm going to be one of your hosts tonight, but I am not alone. I am here with one of my fellow fanholes. Why don't you give a shout-out and let everybody know who's here in the African jungle tonight?
Hey, it's Congo Mike.
Yay, Congo Mike's here. Yeah, so we're doing a thing, and this thing is called JL April, and a bunch of other podcasters are participating in JL April, and we have Tim Price to thank for putting together the trailer that hopefully, if you guys have been listening to some of our other shows, you've heard the trailer already, but we'll probably plop the trailer in before we get started on the official synopsis, but that's got the list of all the participating podcasts if you want to go check that out. But essentially, I mean, it's mostly a bunch of DC comics. I think the original concept was, you know, there was a, you know, a JL Ape crossover thing with all the annuals in DC. And I don't know if everybody that's participating is actually covering all those annuals, but it kind of just turned into like kind of an ape free for all, you know, like different people kind of put their dibs and claims on different things. And when they were discussing doing this way back when, I kind of said, well, I will do Congorilla, you know, because I enjoy this miniseries. And that's basically what we're here to talk about tonight. It's the Congorilla miniseries. It's a 4-issue miniseries that ran from, well, I guess technically the cover date is November 1992 to February 1993, but the actual on sale date was September 29th, 1992 to December 29th, 1992. The cover price for each issue was $1.75. The titles of each 4 issues. First issue is Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep. Second issue, I Pray the Lord My Soul to Keep. Third issue, If I Should Die Before I Wake. And the fourth issue's title, I Pray the Lord My Soul to Take. And the writer was Steve Englehart. Penciler was Neil Vokes. Inkers, J.W. Geldhoff on the majority of the issues. And then on issue 4, P. Craig Russell. The letterer was Clem Robbins. Colorist, Tatiana Wood. Editor, Tom Pyre. And the covers, I think this is probably worth talking about a little bit, but the covers for issues 1 and 2 are done by Brian Bolland. And the covers for 3 and 4 are done by the same interior penciler, Neil Vokes. I don't know, like I imagine you know, I know you've expressed your reservations, right? You kind of are usually saying you're not as familiar with DC stuff. And I know Congorilla doesn't have much of a media presence per se. Like, I think because of sheer budget, right? Like, I think Congo Bill has more of a media presence than Congorilla, you know, like he did the, you know, there's the Congo Bill movie serial or whatever. And then I was reading, like, technically, I guess, Bill appeared on Arrow, like, as just some kind of, I don't know, hunter or assassin or something like that. And I presume that was, like, long after I, like, stopped watching Arrow or whatever, but, like, apparently he was on an episode of Arrow. But, you know, I don't think Congorilla made too many appearances in multimedia. So you'd have to be kind of a hardcore DC Comics guy to stumble upon Kongorilla, I guess.
Like I had heard of Congo Bill before, and like I even like after I read this, I was like curious. I was like, so where else is like this dude like popped up? And I was like, oh yeah, he was on Arrow. And then I was like trying to, I was like, fuck if I remember that episode. But like I was like, okay, like I guess he was like, you know, at some point. But yeah, like I had never heard of, you know, Kongorilla before, but yeah, like Congo Bill, I feel like I had heard of before.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of, you know, your basic fantasy Freaky Friday thing. You know, he rubs the ring and his mind swaps with the gorilla's body, and it's this whole they have adventures. I mean, I think it to me it seems like Congo Bill was enough. Like back in the day when he was created, he was kind of like an Indiana Jones adventurer type character, and you know, he was in the African jungles and, you know, had adventures with Janu and everything. But then I think at some point they probably decided, like, you know, it was kind of in the 50s when it was like, oh, I guess that jungle adventure thing just wasn't good enough anymore. So then that's when, you know, the whole Kongorilla, you know, brain swap thing was introduced in the comics, like in Action Comics and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, you know, I guess we'll you know, we'll play the trailer so that everybody can hear where they can check out the other participating podcast for JL April, and then I'll go ahead and read the synopsis for Kongorilla 1-4.
Dinosaurs. Purple skies, motorcycles, the hero who drives, all on covers of comic books that sell the best. But what sells more than the rest? Monkeys, covers with monkeys. Yes, you know you gotta stalk the monkeys. Hey, hey, stalk the monkeys. Hey, hey. Celebrating the tradition of apes in comics, for 2024, Gorilla Grodd has transformed JL May into JL April. Honestly, he does that a lot. Exploring a phylum of amazing apes, such as
Batman Annual number 23,
Wonder Woman number 170,
Kong on the Planet of the Apes, issue 1,
Angel and the Ape,
The Helmet of Fate, Detective Chimp,
Showcase number 77,
JLA versus Godzilla versus Kong,
Swamp Thing volume 2, annual 3,
Kongorilla issues 1-4,
with a host of podcast all-stars like
The Bat Pod,
Resurrections, and Adam Warlock and Thanos Podcast,
Outcasters, a Batman and the Outsiders Podcast,
Dolly for Flanger,
The Quarterbin Podcast,
Coffee and Comic,
Once Upon a Geek,
Fanholes Podcast,
Married with Content with John and Maggie,
Campus Comics Cast,
and many more. Look for the hashtag JLApril2024 on social media, the podcast crossover event that doesn't monkey around.
JL April.
Really? Monkey around? This is what you're giving me? I don't know why I agreed to this.
Stick to the script, monkey boy!
As Congo Bill rages in the form of the golden gorilla, Kongorilla, killing other gorillas deep in the African jungle, his consciousness is transported back into a human body. Only it's not Bill's own body, but that of his ward's, Janu. Now with a jaw that's wired shut so he cannot talk and many broken bones and damaged organs, Bill is trapped in a body not his own after it was hit by a speeding automobile. Bill then flashes back to his early youth at age 22 when his guide, Arkadin, was trampled by an elephant mother and Bill was forced to wound the elephant. Ultimately, the local men shoot the elephant mother dead as it would be more of a kindness than to leave a wounded elephant for the lions. By the age of 33, Congo Bill is a world-famous man of the civilized world and a jungle adventurer. By age 34, Bill has discovered the little boy who would grow up to become Janu and becomes his legal guardian. In the present day, an assassin attempts to smother Bill slash Janu's body, but he manages to ring the nurse's bell, causing the assailant to flee. At age 39, Congo Bill says farewell to the dying chief Koalo, who passes on the ring that will enable him to switch bodies with the golden gorilla Kongorilla. At first, Bill is reluctant to use the ring at all for fear of what a gorilla's mind may end up doing to his own human body. However, when a cave-in occurs and Bill is trapped on the other side of the cave-in, he is forced to enter the body of Kongorilla to dig himself out and save his own life. Present-day Bill slash Janu's body is visited by a Mr. Hendrickson, who is responsible for the car accident and the assassin, and gives Janu, quote-unquote Janu, 10 days to settle his debt. The years pass quickly as Kongorilla fights side-by-side with Janu, the jungle boy in Africa. By the time Bill is 46, Janu is off to college in America. When Bill slash Kongorilla is 52 years old, he tells Janu he's decided to stay in Kongorilla form for the remainder of his life and entrusts Janu with the spirit ring. Present day, Janu appears in Kongorilla's body and comes to see Bill slash Janu's body at the hospital, takes the magic ring from the belongings, and grunts in gorilla, "Damn you, Bill, why didn't you die?" Janu, Kongorilla, now garbed in a garish red and gold coat, is dealing drugs, specifically gorilla adrenochrome. He extols his power by killing one of the men picking up his product so they don't get any funny ideas about cutting him out of the equation. Then he goes off in the jungle to get laid by a female gorilla. We cut to Bill slash Janu's body being released from the hospital, and picking him up is Janu's former lady, Laurel McKenzie. After a nice quote-unquote afternoon delight, Bill slash Janu's body tells Laurel he'll be going off to the bush to hunt a golden gorilla. After another attack on his life, Bill slash Janu's body leads a team into the jungle. After speaking with another gorilla, the caravan is on its way to locating Janu as Kongorilla. Meanwhile, Janu as Kongorilla is alerted to their coming and rallies a group of natives that worship Kongorilla, their quote-unquote golden god, to form an army juiced up on adrenochrome to attack any outsiders. The expedition is attacked and Bill slash Janu's body and Laurel flee further into the jungle to the cliffs of Naboa Kana, home of the golden gorilla. Bill slash Janu's body tries to get Laurel to safety, but it turns out she has been working for Hendrickson all along and pulls out a gun and attempts to shoot Bill slash Janu's body. As they wrestle over the gun, Laurel is shot. Bill slash Janu's body aimlessly walks the jungle and finally collapses. He is discovered and nursed back to health by Muli, the healer of Chief Koalu's tribe. She knows that Bill's consciousness is within Janu's body and has actually recovered Congo Bill's true body that currently contains the consciousness of Kongorilla. Nuli has created a new spirit ring, and their new mission will be to destroy Janu, or Kongorilla, whom she calls Dark Kongorilla. After partaking in a new ritual, Bill's consciousness is transported into another gorilla body that he uses to fight Dark Kongorilla. Bill fails to defeat Dark Kongorilla, and Nuli brings him back into Janu's body. However, Bill realizes the best way to put things right is by taking back his own body once again. He may be blind in one eye and have a crooked arm, but the greatest hunter in the world, Congo Bill, is finally back in his own body, ready to confront Dark Kongorilla. Dark Kongorilla finally takes revenge on Hendrickson and beats him to death in a high-rise building in the city. Congo Bill, now 56 years old, healed and armed with a rifle, kisses Nuli the healer farewell as he heads out to confront Dark Kongorilla. Congo Bill works with the local police to take down Dark Kongorilla's gang, and Bill confronts Dark Kongorilla within the high-rise building. Ultimately, Congo Bill uses adrenochrome from his own body and pushes Dark Kongorilla down an elevator shaft. Without the spirit ring to transfer to another body, Janu dies in the body of Dark Kongorilla. Bill and Nuli head back to the jungle and away from the intolerance of the city. And that pretty much is the not-so-short, not-so-sweet synopsis of Kongorilla issues 1-4. I guess just to give some background, I think I was most interested in this. Like, this wasn't something I read when it was coming out. I didn't read this off the stands. I wasn't buying this from the comic shop or anything like that. I sort of had retroactive interest in it because I made the History of Comics on Film video for that Congo Bill film serial. And then Kongorilla
appeared in the Cry for Justice miniseries, and then he ended up becoming a member of James Robinson's Justice League of America. So I think that sparked my interest. Like, who is this Congorilla dude? And I started reading, you know, for background for the Congo Bill film serial. You know, I read some of his origin issues, and then when he turns into, when the whole ring swap thing starts and all that other stuff. And I kind of stumbled upon this miniseries from 1992. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. For me, like, I started reading it, and it just, to me, it's pretty engaging. I mean, I'm hard pressed to say this has anything to do with any other DC continuity. I mean, some people might try to argue the point that it is part of continuity. I think it's kind of more like a proto-Vertigo book, and it's kind of outside continuity, you know, kind of like a direct market book that was aimed at, you know, the readers for Morrison's Doom Patrol, the readers for Moore and Veitch's Swamp Thing. And then later on, it's funny because there was an actual Vertigo miniseries that was labeled Congo Bill in 1999. And like, you might think, oh, maybe this will explain like how you go from a dead Janu Congorilla to like Bill being with Congorilla again. But I mean, I don't know, that 1999 miniseries is kind of like Apocalypse Now. Like, it almost has nothing to do with Congo Bill. There are these people in Africa that are all mercenaries and soldiers, and eventually they find Congo Bill, and he's like chained to Congorilla. And then, you know, I don't know, the way like internet or wiki spins it is like, oh, and then he joins with Congorilla, and the Congo Bill body dies, and that's it. And I'm just kind of like, well, that's not really what happened, but okay. The flashbacks cover like old issues of Action Comics with Janu. Like, Janu first appears in Action Comics 191. Congorilla first shows up in Action Comics 224. And then the whole ring swap thing ends up happening by Action Comics 248, right? So that's just some basic background on like how I came to it and you know, what, you know, sort of, you know, a basic lead up to who Congo Bill and Congorilla are or whatever. But, you know, again, I know you've always expressed, you know, kind of being self-conscious about, you know, you're not sure how much you'll have to say about it, or, you know, you're not like super familiar with the characters or anything like that. But I kind of just told you not to worry about it, because I feel like this was pretty self-contained. So I guess maybe I'll just kick it off with that. Like, did I lie to you? Like, did you need to know anything that I just told you, really? Like, I feel like most of that was kind of explained in story through all the flashbacks and stuff.
Oh yeah, like there was no, like, you know, background I needed to know, like, other than, you know, what was like shown in the series. And I think the only thing that like initially took me off guard and like confused me was like, I was trying to keep track of whose mind was like switched into like whose body.
And that, it's tough even when you're like writing the synopsis. Like, I had to come up with those names. It's like, okay, this is Bill, but he's in Janu's body, and this is Congorilla, but it's Janu's mind and Congorilla, you know. And then later on, I mean, it's like you understand why it gets confusing. Then they put then Janu, which is really Bill in Janu's body, but they take Bill's mind and put him in a gorilla so he can fight Congorilla, which is Jan, you know what I mean? So now they're both gorillas and they're both fighting. And then, you know, and then you start thinking about the moral implications of all this. And you know who gets really fucked through the whole story are these poor fucking gorillas that get stuck in human bodies and don't know, don't know that they're not a gorilla anymore. Right. Like, so.
Yeah. Like, I liked I liked that gorilla pair that were kind of like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Where they're,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, like talking about like, oh, man, like, you know, we don't know what's, you know, going on. Like, oh, there's the golden gorilla. And like, yeah, like those were funny. And like, I don't know, like, I guess I kind of got like vibes. Like, I was kind of like, this is almost like, once I figured out who was in whose body and who was who, like, I was kind of like, well, this is almost like if. This is almost like a, like, sort of like if Robin went evil, or yep, a Kid, yep, Miracle, yep, Man,
it's,
thing.
It's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think other than Kid Miracle Man, I feel like in DC Comics, like, this is the earliest example I could think of, right? Like, Janu's heel turn, right? Like it's one of, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, I think Kid Miracle Man is probably the thing everybody is trying to, I don't know, either ape or you know, maybe they all say, oh, I had this idea independent of Alan Moore, but, you know, basically it's like you could trace it all back to that, right? But, like, this also is an early example of a sidekick going, you know, evil or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, where you're like, depending on your opinion about it, you know, it's like some of them I think are done well, some of them I think are done lousy, but, like, this one I thought, I mean, it's interesting because I don't think DK2 with Dick Grayson doing it, like, puts a bad taste in your mouth, because everybody knows who Dick Grayson is, and everybody knows who Robin is, and everybody knows who Batman is. But I think this, it's a little easier to swallow, because it's like, you're like, okay, how many people know who Congo Bill is? How many people know who Janu is? And you know what's funny about it is, whether this is in continuity or not, as far as I know, like, Janu, like, has never appeared again after this. So, like, at bare minimum, it's like, those characters, if people cared about them, they cared about them back in the, you know, 30s, 40s, and 50s when they had a long-running strip in Action Comics. But basically, after that point, they became, you know, Kongorilla was like a forgotten hero that ended up showing up in Superman and Action Comics later. But, like, outside of that, like, you know, there wasn't really any, you know, demand, or, you know, like, even me, like Kongorilla was a pretty deep cut for me until I discovered him, right? Like, so, you know, it's not like I'm gonna be like, you know, shaking my fist at the cloud because they violated the sanctity of Janu, you know what I mean? But you're right, you hit the nail on the head. It is like Robin going evil or Kid Miracle Man or something like that.
Like, just scanning the Wikipedia article again, like, I think I told a lie. Like, I think I have encountered Kongorilla before, and you know where it was? The Young Justice, like, TV tie-in.
Okay, right.
Because, like, Greg Wiseman did a, like, whole, like, Gorilla City story, and, like, in his typical, like, trying to weld continuity together and stuff, he basically made, like, all super intelligent gorillas, like, in his DC universe, like, originate, like, from Gorilla City.
Or whatever. Yeah.
So, like, I think Kongorilla was, like, the golden, like, ape idol from Gorilla City or something. And, you know, like, Grodd and Mala and, like, all of those guys were, like, from Gorilla City. So,
right.
Yeah, and I think once you said it, I was remembering. Oh, right, like the Cry for Justice. Like, I didn't read Cry for Justice, but I was like, oh, I remember that. Like, Kongorilla was in that series. Like, okay,
yeah.
So, like, yeah, like, and I knew Congo Bill because, like, I knew, yeah, he had, like, you know, movie serials, and, you know, he was an old, like, what was before he was DC? Wasn't he some sort of, like, like pulp
character? So. I think he might have been inspired by pulp characters, but I mean, he was only in, like, he first appears, I think, in, like, Action, or no, more Fun Comics, I think, and then he got a strip in Action Comics. So it's like, I mean, he's a tried and true DC character, but it's just, you know, it's like him and a bunch of other characters were, like, Superman's backup strips, basically, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, nowadays people would find it, like, super problematic that he, like, got with John, who's, like, girlfriend while he was in his body, but, like, you know, but then I feel like, you know, like, it's retroactive where it's like, you know, oh, see, she's evil, so it was okay, like,
basically. Well, like, you know, the other thing too, though, is it's like you say that people would have problems with that. Meanwhile, like, I feel like it's weird that Janu, in the body of Dark Kongorilla, immediately wants to fuck female gorillas.
Another gorilla.
And it's like, and you're just saying things to yourself. Because it's like, it's weird. He has that moment where he's like, oh, this is weird. And then he's like, no, I want to do it. And then he just goes into it or whatever, right? And like Congo Bill, like, you know, I feel like, I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, and it's funny because I haven't seen it either, but I watched, like, a YouTube, like, you know how they make those YouTube videos of, like, I'm going to explain this movie to you in like 3 minutes or whatever, yeah, you know? Yeah. And like, I remember one time I got stuck in this rabbit hole of like, oh yeah, I'll watch this or whatever. And there's this like Matthew Perry film called 17 Again. And the whole thing is like, I guess his mind gets like transported into his son's body or something, you know, something like that, where it's like, it's that whole Freaky Friday thing. And the reason why I bring that one up though is Freaky Friday. It's like what? It's like Jodie, you know, it's like women swapping bodies and or Lindsay Lohan, Jodie Foster, whoever, right? They're swapping bodies, but they're women. So the libido aspect of it isn't there. But like with it being like an older guy and then a young, you know, good looking 17-year-old guy, right? Then it becomes this whole thing of, oh, I get to relive my youth and pick up on all these like, you know, hot high school girls or whatever it is. Right. And it's the same thing with this. It's like dude was, I think, supposed to be 52. And now all of a sudden he's in a body of like, a you know, I don't know, a 20 something, you know, with a hot girlfriend, you know, and you're like, well, like, you know, you're just kind of like, come on, man, who, you know, like you're going to turn that down, right? Like, I don't know, it's just, you know, and then, like you said, yeah, she turns out to be this femme fatale, right? Like, she's in on the, I mean, it's funny, too, because that's the trouble of Paradise. It's like, she's good looking, she seems to really be into Janu, as far as that goes, which is odd, because you can tell Janu must give two shits about her. Right. Because he never included her. Either he knew she was bad news to begin with, which I don't think he did, you know, and it's like, but he just chose to exclude her from his whole plan or whatever. Right. Like, yeah. So it's like, you know, so it's kind of funny. Like, if she was not in with the bad guys, so to speak, then she would have gotten maybe as much of a raw deal as the poor gorillas in this entire miniseries. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh. The only other thing I had a little difficulty with was like trying to parse their like talk when they're talking in gorilla bodies, because it's like, you know, he misspells everything to make it sound like, you know, bestial or guttural or whatever. So it's like I had to, like, you know, say it out loud, like, to figure out what they were saying sometimes. But
that kind of reminded me of the whole Doom Patrol thing, like when they had the Brotherhood of Dada, and you're trying to like figure out how that one guy talks, because it's this kind of you know, broken, you know, wrecked English or whatever, you know, and it hurts your mind to read it. So I get that. It's like, that's like a similar, you know, a similar vibe, like where you're trying to, you know, go through it or whatever.
Steve Englehart on Kongorilla.
Who knows why series work? This could easily have been bad in so many ways, but I found a story in this 50s concept that I really liked. Neil Vokes went nuts on the art, and Kongorilla became a cult classic. See, Congo Bill, Great White Hunter, had this ring which would let him switch minds with a golden gorilla, then his best friend stole that ring, became the true king of the jungle, and set out to kill him.
I guess my you know, to me, it's like the other things that I feel like, it, you know, maybe it's obvious or not, but maybe worth saying, is like there's that weird, like, the difference between Kongorilla and Dark Kongorilla is that he's got this like garish red dictator jacket with the gold tassels and everything like that. And to me, I mean, I'm like, that's basically like supposed to be like this African dictator coat, like it's like Gaddafi or Idi Amin or something, you know what I mean, but like as a gorilla, you know, type thing. Yeah. And then I was cracking up because it reminded me of Vegeta a little bit. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but like the back of the coat says badass on the back of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was thinking of Vegeta's like pink Batman shirt or whatever.
So that
was kind of funny.
That I thought was kind of funny.
And then I guess once Laurel goes away, right, she gets killed. But then they introduce like another love interest type character, which is newly the healer. Right. And so I guess she's supposed to be part of the same tribe, you know, the same group that the chief was a part of and everything. So they introduced that character. I don't know. To me, like, this just, it reads pretty easy. Like, I felt like it was kind of compelling, and there was kind of a lack of concern, like, for future installments, I guess, which is why it's probably largely ignored. I mean, I guess you could argue, like, maybe, depending on how the magic works, like, maybe because Dark Congorilla fell to his death, and Janu was in the body, Janu does die, but then who knows, maybe if you like rub the ring again and like Congo Bill goes back into Congorilla's body, then it's not dead anymore. I mean, I don't know, but you know, it's like that, you know, it's like you'd have to come up with something or whatever. But it's funny too, because I feel like the theme of this is like you should be true to thine own self, meaning like you should stick in your own goddamn body and stop swapping bodies with other people. Like, I feel like that's the moral lesson of this. But the exciting fantastical comic trope is like that's the whole shtick, is like it's supposed to be like, oh, it's so cool that he can go into the body of this golden gorilla. And so whenever that character does return, you know, it's like, or at least in the, you know, the Justice League, or, you know, or whatever, then that, you know, it becomes a permanent thing where, you know, he's like the strong guy of the group. And, you know, in some ways he's a bit like the Beast from X-Men. You know, it's like he's a very refined and intelligent guy, but he's in the body of this giant golden gorilla or whatever, you know.
James Robinson said that last character was an old 90-year-old man named Bill. People are going to love this character by the time I'm done with him. He's 90 years old. He's seen it all. He's done it all. And within 6 issues, you will love this character. I guarantee it.
I was going to say, I think, as I was reading it, I was kind of almost like, is this like taking place in like DC continuity? And like, I wasn't super sure about that, but we
can talk about this. Like, I want to say, it's weird. You can say yes if nothing ever happened to Congorilla after this miniseries ended. But the fact that stuff did happen, then it makes it really clunky, and I can't explain to you, like, it doesn't. So, like, okay, so all those Action Comics, like that whole run, like it all mostly fits in with this. You could argue some of the flashbacks condense things to make it, like, I don't think Janu was there when Bill got trapped in the cave at first. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there might be things that are like slightly off, but I mean, for the most part, it makes, you know, it kind of, you could kind of, if you're willing to, you know, excuse it for a modern retelling, you're like, oh, this pretty much fits with everything that came before it. And what came right before it, which is interesting, is, you know how they go into the moment where Congo Bill tells Janu, oh, I think I'm going to stay in the gorilla body, so long and whatever, right? And so Janu knew he was in the gorilla's body, and when the miniseries starts, he is in the gorilla's body, and he kind of gets violently, you know, taken out of that into Janu's body, right, in the hospital. The last, if you look at the continuity of it, or at least the timeline of appearances of Congorilla, the last time Congorilla appeared was in a Swamp Thing annual. And it was in that annual that Congo Bill decides, I'm going to stay in the gorilla body. So that kind of lines up with where this miniseries starts. Where the miniseries ends is Congo Bill's in Africa, and he's dating, living with, whatever, like an African native, and Congorilla's body is dead, right? If you go with the next Vertigo miniseries as the continuity, which is, you know, chronologically, the next thing that happens is this 1999 Vertigo Congo Bill miniseries. And that, like I explained, is just it doesn't have Congo Bill in it at all until the fourth issue, even though it's titled Congo Bill. And Congo Bill's chained to Congorilla. There's no explanation of why Congorilla is not dead. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like he's what's his face? Kurtz from Apocalypse Now. Like they're traveling around and they finally confront them and whatever. So that to me doesn't really line up. And pretend you ignore all the Vertigo stuff, but you want to keep this miniseries in DC continuity. I think after that was like an issue of Martian Manhunter, and it might have even been the Martian Manhunter issue that ties into JL Ape. Like it might be an annual that ties into JL Ape, and he's going around talking to different people about apes. And I think like John Jones or somebody goes and talks to Congo Bill. So I guess that could line up with this. But then if you go further to Cry for Justice and all that other stuff, eventually, obviously, Congorilla comes back into play. And then at that point, you're like, well, isn't Congorilla dead? Like, because Janu's dead? And then you have to do this whole, like, well, does the magic help? Like, if you rub the ring, like, can you bring to life a dead body if it's only the person's mind that died? Or, I don't know. It's just one of those things that like makes my head hurt. So I feel like it doesn't really quite line up, but I think maybe at the time it was meant to, or maybe at the time it was meant to line up and also be the final word on Congorilla. And they were just supposed to do Congo Bill things after that. But I don't know. It's messy. I would say, it doesn't quite fit, you know?
Yeah, this could be the last Congorilla story, basically. No, but I really enjoyed this. Like, I didn't know what to expect exactly, but you know, I once parsed all the like characters and like you know I was realizing who like I was like you know I was going like okay so like I felt like I had to draw a diagram for myself. So I was like, right now, like, Janu is in Congorilla's body. Yeah, like Congo Bill is in Janu's body. And then like the gorilla's mind is in Congo Bill's body. Like, okay, wait. So
and Congo Bill in Janu's body is in Laurel's body. Oh.
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 Uh-huh. But yeah, I was kind of thinking, I was like, it's like the defense I use whenever someone says, Cyclops, like, left Madeline Pryor. He left his wife. He ditched her. And I was like, yeah, but she was, you know, she was planted by Mr. Sinister. So that retroactively was not Cyclops's fault, basically. So,
right.
But that's what I was like, oh, see, it was fine. Like, she was evil. So it's not his fault.
It's not Congo's fault. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm happy you enjoyed it. I mean, I do think, I mean, for anybody that's listening that was on the fence, and I know we kind of spoiled what happens or whatever, but I mean, it's, you know, I feel like, it, you know, obviously it's four issues. It's not, quote unquote, self-contained to one issue. But I mean, I think this miniseries on its own, all four issues, like it's an interesting read. You know, to me, it's captivating. You know, maybe if you don't like the trope of the sidekick gone evil, like maybe that wouldn't be your cup of tea or whatever. But like, you know, I think for the most part, like this is something like you can just give to somebody if you have all four issues and say, yeah, give it a shot. Like, I think you'll like it or whatever, you know. So, and I think Steve Englehart's a good writer. And if you're a fan of his, like, then again, it'd be a recommend from me, you know, either way. But that might be another thing that might get people that are on the fence about this to check it out. Like, if you enjoy his writing, then I think you'll enjoy this book.
I think the only thing I would criticize is that I think you said it too, but like Janu's like sort of motivations, I feel like, are kind of like quickly, like, you know, dropped in there and then never explored really. Like, it's like, you know, he's Congo Bill's like beloved, you know, adopted son. And then like, you just, you know, like you just have to piece it together. And then Congo Bill kind of thinks, like, later on, he's like, oh, like, he went and learned, like, you know, book learning school, and
they try to pin it on America. You know what I mean? Like, the minute he was plucked from the jungle and he learned about capitalism, then all of a sudden it's like he learned about capitalism. He started banging chicks, and then he realized he needed lots of money to bang the chick who was addicted to cocaine or whatever her deal was, right? And it's like, then that became his mission, is like, oh, how do I make money? And so somehow the sidekick became a drug dealer, do you know what I mean, and got involved with all these wrong people. Yeah. But it's like I mean, you know, again, like your mileage may vary on that, right? But I mean, I guess, you know, you can kind of take a look at it and go, oh, that sucks, that, like, you know, because the fight between them, it's not just like a fight between two gorillas that makes it cool. I think it's also like cool because there's like this, all this unspoken stuff and this betrayal or whatever. I mean, maybe they could have played a little more like what you're saying with Janu's motivations. Like, you know how they're always doing it with Speedy, where like Speedy's like, oh, Green Arrow's never around for me when I need him, and that's why I turned to smack or whatever. You know, like, that's kind of how they try to write the drama with Speedy. And it's like, if they sort of could somehow combine those things, where it's like he turned to all these things because Bill wasn't around for him. So it's like they both maybe have a grudge with one another, you know, type thing. And I think they did, but it's like I see what you're saying. Like, maybe they could have fleshed that out to be a little more specific. But I do think it makes that fight between them like kind of cool, because it's almost more, you know, it's physical, but it's also like kind of like this emotional thing where they both feel this sense of strong betrayal from the other. So it's like, it makes it very visceral and kind of, you know, emotional at the same time. And it's not just two people like beating the shit out of each other. Like, there's a lot of emotional weight to it too.
Come on, come on. This the end for you, Zanu. Sorry you feel that way, Bill. Who else you expect me to feel? How else you expect me to act? I was a dead man if I didn't take your body. I figure you had better chance of being me than I did. You're tougher living in the bush, had more experience surviving. Fine talk, son. But what did you say in the hospital room? Damn you, Bill. What did you die? You never thought about me, and you're trying to kill me now. All right, so I was looking out for number one. Wake up, Bill. Happens all the time in showbiz. You came from America into the bush. I went the other way. I never had any money growing up. Never needed any. But in America, I learned what money can buy. I got it all now. Money, power, women. The American dream in Africa. The whole continent's gonna be mine. Manifest destiny. I'm gonna own it all. Besides, your hands aren't clean. You got Laurel killed. Laurel worked for Hendrickson, the guy you double-crossed. She tried to kill me, thinking I was you. You're lying. I'm lying? I'm lying! You little creep. After all I've gone through, you think I'd waste my time? I raised you. I gave you years of my life to giving you a life you wouldn't have otherwise had. Then I retired. I gave up everything I earned to be Gorilla. You're damned right money meant nothing to me. All I want was to be part of the bush. Live wild and free. That was all. And you took it from me. My body, almost my life, twice. My love for you, you took it all. You're losing control, old man. You've always taught me. You gotta keep controlling the bush. Otherwise, you lose.
Yeah, you got me to read another DC miniseries.
So. Ha ha ha. Yeah,
I was gonna say, that's a mission accomplished for you.
Cool.
But I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, I mean, I think we've said our piece on this. Like, we don't have to belabor the point or anything. If anybody, like we said, if anybody wants to check out any more of the tie-ins to JL April, again, just, you know, check out the other participating podcast that's on the podcast trailer promo that we play on this episode, and hopefully you've heard on the last couple episodes we've released. And we are, of course, on all kinds of social media. We're on Tumblr. We're on Twitter/X. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We appreciate all the likes, hearts, shares, and retweets that we receive. If you have any comments, questions, and or concerns about Freaky Friday body swapping and the morality of leaving a poor gorilla inside a human being's body without it being a gorilla's body, or not getting consent from someone because they think you're someone else in someone else's body or whatever, you can send your angry emails to fanholespodcast@gmail.com. And of course, we can be streamed. We're on Podbean, and then, you know, you can type Fanholes Podcast into the search engine. You can look up comics, motherfucker, do you read them? And, you know, find the episodes there. And I think that's going to do it. So until the next time, this is going to be Derek WC, signing off.
Hey, it's Mike.
She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, time to do the things you never had.
Nice.
Gorilla.
That's you should do like multiple ones of those, and then it'll be like the fight. You know, we'll put exciting music to it. It'll be like.
The only awesome. Gorilla noise I can make is the one Gary Chalk makes.
Awesome.